I think we ripped you off. At least we could have had popcorn, but that's the last weekend in this series we'll do that. Apparently it makes, some of you are just really messy when you eat popcorn, so we're only going to do it that one Sunday. Anyway, I discovered something recently pretty interesting. A great question to ask somebody, and you're going to catch them off guard and say, tell me something good that's happened to you recently. You'll be met with a very awkward pause. If you had said, man, tell me something bad going on, have a seat, grab a coffee, you'll be there for a while. It's just funny, we're kind of tuned to what's bad that's going on. We're used to it, we're surrounded by it, that's what sells everything. Usually if I ask the question, though, I have already prepared something, because they'll say, well, how about for you? And then I'm stuck, and there's another awkward pause. So I'm going to tell you something good that happened to me recently. It started off with something not good. We had a friend that passed away after a serious bout with brain cancer. His passing wasn't unexpected, but the timing, you just didn't know when it was going to happen. So last Saturday, the family decided, he passed away on a Friday, they decided on Saturday to do the funeral on Monday. In Wisconsin, and trying to figure out if I could go, how that would work. I would represent our family, so it ended up that the decision was to see if we can make it work. And I've got enough friends. I've got enough friends that have flown, and I don't hear anyone saying, "Man, that was a great flight. I loved it. It was so much fun." I don't hear any of that. And it didn't start. I did find out I got a flight early Monday morning. This is going to be a funeral Monday afternoon. I go to National Airport at 0:30, and it's exactly what I expected. Everybody apparently is flying somewhere last Monday. Huge crowds, people are irritated, breaking in line. I mean, it was not a pleasant thing. I get on the plane, it's completely jammed. They say that welcome thing, there are no vacant seats, and if you have a carry-on bag, throw it out the window, and we'll hopefully it'll get where you're going. So I get on the plane. First good thing that happened, I'm in an exit row. I didn't pay extra. It's like $400 to get the exit row. I didn't pay any extra because I'm a quorum and we're cheap. I got it anyway. I could cross my legs. I was so happy. I got on that. Fly to Madison, Wisconsin. Never been there before in my life. Dane Regional Airport. Greatest airport I've ever been in. No question about it. I thought maybe it's closed. There was no one there. I was in a brand new terminal. It smelled really good. They had amazing facilities if you had a pet. I'm not kidding. It was a bigger bathroom than for the adults. I'm not making any of this up. I get out. I go downstairs. Everyone is kind to me. My bag shows up on the carousel thing. I go to the hotel that I'd made a reservation for, and I said, is there any way I could get in a couple hours early? And they said, yes. I got in there, got changed. I got to the funeral just in time. It was amazing. I got back to the airport the next morning. Still, there was no one in the line to do the TSA thing. I'm the only one there. I think the rest of them were sleeping. They're so bored. What is that? Now, I did mess up because I had a few things on me I'm not supposed to, and I had to go through twice, but they were kind to me anyway. So some good things have happened. So you might just try that experiment this afternoon. Ask them, what's something good that's happened to you recently? But make sure you're prepared to have an answer for you when they turn it around on you. That was free, has nothing to do with the message, but I just thought it would be helpful for us. We are doing our At the Movie series, and I really like this series. If you study Jesus, he told stories. Sometimes they were, in fact, a lot of times, most of it were fictional stories, and they were designed to be stories that would illustrate things that are really important. We're fortunate that Hollywood does that for us all the time. We come up with these movies that are way out. Some of them are historic, some of them are not. Some of them are action adventure, some are drama, some are comedies. And if you watch them well, there's a whole lot we can learn. It doesn't mean you buy everything you get, of course not. But there's a lot we can learn. And I think you'll find in the ones we picked for this series, they're good movies. There are a lot of things we can get from them. I want to give you a handle before we go into this particular movie on just a simple principle for watching movies, TV, streaming stuff, whatever you have. What we want to be careful is that when we're being entertained or when we're being presented with this material, that we don't simply absorb what we're getting, but we think like followers of Jesus. We evaluate what we're seeing. The writers, producers, directors, actors, they all want you to be convinced of whatever they're showing you. And you can't fault them for that. They also want to make sure that money's being made. And let it capture your attention and all, but don't let it stop us from being good, healthy, critical thinkers. Evaluate what you're hearing and what you're seeing. There may be some questions that come up. Do some research on it. Parents, this is really important. It is easy for us to think that it's mindless entertainment and we just let our kids watch whatever they want. Shame on us if we do that. Shame on us if we do it for ourselves or for our kids. So just evaluate what you're getting. I know my kids got irritated with me and Becky because we would be watching stuff and we'd stop and say, well, what lesson did you learn? I mean, I'm not saying you have to go overboard, but don't ignore the opportunity, okay? I'm going to give just a couple of handles for this. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 10. It's a great one to hang on to. It says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. That means that all worldviews aren't accurate. All beliefs aren't true. So I filter those things. I look at them. I evaluate. And it says, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The most important world that we have impact on initially is our thought world. So let's get our heads screwed on straight. Appreciate all kind of things, but evaluate them before you swallow. Another translation of this verse says, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. God wants you and I to be good thinkers, have our heads on correctly. A simple illustration to this, all of us drink water. Well, some of you drink less than others, but we all drink water in some form. All water isn't that healthy. It needs to be filtered. And thinking is the same way. Ideas, the world of all kind of opinions and things like that, we ought to filter. It doesn't mean it's all bad, not at all. But I'm going to filter it to make sure that I'm not allowing things that shouldn't take root to take root there. The last thing here is Romans 12:2. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So the challenge is, let's all be careful thinkers. And as we go through these movies, I think you'll see all of us that are speaking will come up with some ways to kind of help us all do that. So we've got this movie we're doing today, Jesus Revolution. I've seen it a few times. I don't cry at movies. I did at this one. Maybe even more than Becky, which the counselor is going to help us work through that. But anyway, I want you to watch the trailer of this. It'll kind of give you an overview of what this Jesus Revolution is about.
Hey, Square.
I am not a square. I
think we should invite Greg this weekend.
What's this weekend?
These people are hippies, rebels against old-fashioned authority.
I think these kids need help.
What they need is a bath.
You're passing judgment on people you know nothing about.
Maybe that's why your church is so empty.
When God walks in here, brings me a hippie, I'll ask him what it's all about, because I do not understand.
This house has a very good vibe. There is an entire generation searching.
Slow down, man, slow down.
Just in all the wrong places. If you want to reach my people, you need to speak to them in a language they understand.
If I bring them in, I'm going to lose my job.
We can only walk through doors open to us. In your church, that's a door that's shut.
You've probably noticed we have some guests here today. I'd like you to meet my new friends. Welcome.
They don't belong here. Half of them aren't even wearing shoes.
They're staining the new shag carpet.
They need our help.
The
If you feel like you're misunderstood and judged,
you will find forgiveness and freedom right here.
That was awesome.
Now that door is open any time of day. And if there are some who don't like that, well, then that door works both ways.
All right, Pastor, let's begin.
I was almost done with this, but then you did what nobody else would even dare.
This thing that we found, I feel like I belong.
You're gonna need a bigger church.
Our country is a dark and divided place, but now there's hope and it's spreading.
This is your home, and I want you to tell all your friends about it.
If you haven't seen the movie, this is one that, and we won't do this with all of them, but I really would urge you to see. It is based on some things that really, really happened. In the mid to late 60s, early 70s, there was something that was completely unexpected that went on in the U.S. It happened in the West Coast and moved its way to the East. A group of young adults, some high school students, college dropouts, and others, who had been looking in all kind of places for love and acceptance and all this, started finding Jesus. Let's watch this next clip. Shoot, I've got to quit being emotional.
Lost. Aimless. Scripture tells us that without a vision, lost. Aimless. Scripture tells us that without a vision, people perish. In Hebrew, the word means to cast off restraint. And isn't that what we're witnessing today, a generation without restraint?
That's right.
Cast off authority, cast off tradition, cast off morals. Cast off God. These are the headlines of our time. Is this our future? It seems as if we may be at the end already. But as Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, said, he who endures till the end shall be saved.
Amen.
Let's pray.
Some of us lived that. So just a few things that stood out to me in this movie, and there's a lot in it, and you could maybe pick out four other things that I missed. But the first one is, and it hasn't changed, and that is, it is easy to condemn what or who we don't know or understand. Kelsey Grammer plays Pastor Chuck Smith, who was depicted fairly well in this movie. He was caught up in this. You could see that there were some things he struggled with. He didn't understand what was going on. He was afraid of it. And he was in the midst of, you know, condemning and criticizing and all that, and fearful of what would happen if things didn't change, but he had no idea how it would change. To be sure, a lot of the what would be called hippie behavior was out of bounds. There was tons of rampant drug use. There was absolutely no restraint sexually. There were protests of all kind, and many protests that instead of flowers got violent. There was a distrust in government, distrust in a lot of authority, and part of it came because they'd seen this hypocrisy and they were sick and tired of it. And they had this particular group, it was the largest cohort age-wise in our country at the time, and they had some clout. Many people didn't have, all they did was they just saw the hair and clothes. That's all it took for them to say, these are losers and we don't need anything to do with them. What was missed is it the fact that they were looking for something, and it's not that people are that different in what they're looking for, love and respect, and want my life to have meaning and impact and all this kind of thing. They were just looking at in very different places. absolutely the same human nature as we see today. People can choose all kind of paths to try to make their life work. You and I do. Everyone does. It doesn't mean all the paths are right or good. In fact, many times the choices are unhealthy and dangerous. But the fact that we might take a wrong path or believe some things that aren't right doesn't mean that God has written us off. God still loves us and pursues us even in the midst of us going all kind of directions. That's true for us, and it's true for everybody else on this planet. So I want you to, Chuck Smith is getting ready to get an education in finding out what these people are like, and I want you to, this is going to introduce Lonnie Frisbee, who was a very charismatic leader at the time, and you'll see this as he meets Chuck Smith.
I'm Jeanette.
Hey.
Hey. So where are you headed?
Coming down from San Francisco, spreading the good news to whoever wants to hear it. How about you, Jeanette? Do you know about the way, the truth, and the life?
You've got to meet my dad.
Far out. Is he into hippies?
Nope.
Why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? My stars.
Hi, Chuck Smith.
Who are you? How do you know my name?
Oh, your daughter told me, and when she picked me up.
You tell me right now where my daughter is. Jeanette!
What? Here.
Who is this?
It's Lonnie.
Hi.
Hi. Would you mind just stepping outside for a minute, Mr.?
Not at all. Frisbee, Lonnie Frisbee.
Frisbee. Thank you.
Sugar by any chance.
What is going on?
You said you wanted God to send you a hippie.
I said that, but I did not mean it.
Dad, I am telling you, there's something about this guy. We talked all night. He pretty much blew my mind.
I spent the night with him? He could be an axe murderer.
Anyone could be an axe murderer. Look, just listen for 10 minutes, and if you think he's crazy, I'll throw him out myself.
This house has a very good vibe. So great to meet you.
I wish I had been a fly on the wall when that happened. I've seen it a few times. But here's one thing that those of us that are followers of Jesus know, is that everyone matters to God. And so they should matter to us. Lonnie had, through variety of circumstances, and he had a rough past. He had found a relationship with Jesus, and he advocated for his generation, but he also wanted to be a bridge to a generation that didn't get him, didn't understand him. He wanted to help bridge that gap so there could be a real understanding of who God is and what he offered. John 3:16 and 17, we hear this a lot, but it comes to life sometimes when we're faced with choices. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. You know, we hear this, but do we really believe it? Pastor Smith did, but now he's faced with, is it really for everyone? Or is it just people more like me? And those people need to get their act together, and then maybe God would be interested in them. Trying to see people as God does, seeing differences, I mean, stark differences, not just style, but all kind of beliefs and tastes and things like that. And when we believe that someone's out of line with God's standards, it's easy for us to set ourselves up as God's judge and jury. Thankfully, he didn't treat you and me that way. And what he's called us to do is to follow his lead in this. He didn't reject us because we were out of line. In fact, he pursued us. Jesus came not for the people that had it together, but for the people that didn't and the people that needed help. And God sets this model for us of speaking the truth to us, but always in love. He does not ignore our sin. but he doesn't ignore our need for a Savior either. There's a balance that we have to figure out here. Our culture doesn't understand this, and I can understand some of it. For the long, many people have this example of the church as churches unloving to people they don't like. And so what happens with there is, I don't agree with you, so I'm not going to have anything to do with you. And so people have said, who needs that? That was pretty much where I was. Our culture is shifted now, and it's shifted to, you know, the thing is we don't have to agree with someone to love them. Parents should be learning that. Kids should be learning that of their parents. But what our culture is shifted to, and we need to be careful with this, is if you don't agree with me, you don't love me. You know, we ought to be able to disagree and still love and care. Figure out how to talk, how to build friendships, look to influence in a positive way. God is the great example in that. Pastor Smith, faced with it, does the right thing. He humbles himself and he starts learning. And soon the hippies flood his church. And he's got a battle going on. He's got the old guard that don't want to have anything to do with it. You know, they're coming and messing up our shag carpet. But and he could lose his job for this. But he's got people that he realizes God loves them. They need Jesus, and he's willing to risk it. And the movie paints a really good picture of how this went. And I think it's valuable for us to see. I became a Christian when the West Coast wave moved to the East Coast. It was not called the Jesus Revolution. Time magazine came up with that. It was called the Jesus Movement. Some of us were called Jesus Freaks. For me, like many, I had decided church didn't have anything I needed. So I wasn't like angry at the church. I just couldn't have cared any less about the church. I pursued every avenue you could think of to try to make life work, and most of them were not healthy, good, or God-honoring. And then in a complete surprise, I heard about Jesus. It wasn't in a church. I heard it somewhere else. And when they explained who Jesus was, that he loved, he had a purpose, he would accept me as I am, I thought, well, that's an amazing deal. If it's true, it would change everything. And me and my best friend listened, and we talked about it, and we decided we're going to give it a shot. I remember the night I accepted Christ that the drugs and alcohol were, the interest in that was gone for me. It's not true for everyone, I know that, but for me it was gone. What I've been trying to find, I don't mean to be emotional, but it's the same thing I did in the movie. This is a picture of what I kind of looked like at the time. Do we have that up there, Mindy? I showed up at churches, and I didn't look like most other people in the church. I looked just like that. That was my uniform. I had gotten a haircut, which is good, but there were, you know, I didn't fit in. And I found this out pretty quick. I would telling people I was a Christian. I remember I went to a gas station one day. It was just down the street from where I lived, and I was introduced as being a new Christian. And the owner of the gas station looked at me up and down. Boy, seeing someone like you, I'll know you go to orgies and do drugs. I would never rent you one of my U-Haul trailers because I know what you do with it. Until you get that haircut and that beard shaved, God will never have anything to do with you. I'm not making this up. And I looked, I was stunned. And I asked him, I said, well, I hadn't read anything about hairdos yet in the Bible. And I asked, I said, well, if I were to get a haircut, what would it look like? And he had these big white walls, crew cut and white walls. Things haven't changed that much. Maybe hairstyles and all, but It's just easy for us to look at the surface and judge someone's value or their worth. Shame on us when we do. Something that happened that really helped me, and I'll give you this point and then we'll look at a clip in a minute, is that there were some followers of Jesus that took initiative to get to know me. And that's what all of us are to do. We take the initiative to get to know our neighbors, find out where they're coming from, not in some kind of self-righteous posture that I've got it all together and I need to straighten them out, but to get to know them, not to just criticize and condemn, but to get to know them as equally created in God's image. Every one of us have been. 1 Corinthians 9 tells us this. It says, yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I don't save them, but I'm God's partner in it. Everything I can is what I'm called to do, to build relationships with those around me. And I do this to spread the good news and share its blessings, not to share my big ideas and try to get someone to conform to my image. I stayed away from churches for a long time and then finally was challenged by a few people that maybe I should give it a try, and I found one. I found a really good one. Again, I stood out as different. I was the only one with bib overalls and the hair and all that kind of stuff. But there are people there that took initiative with me to get to know me. One of them was the pastor. He became a good friend, so much so that I married his daughter. But there was a risk for him because I was very rough around the edges. Me and several of our friends, we just, you know, but he was willing to see past hair and clothes and style and language and all that kind of stuff. He was, and he and others, Willie Wills, Joyce Ranson, Ed Wheeler, and some others that came alongside, and they treated me as an equal. I'd never had that before. And the weird thing is, so in some environments, they would have nothing to do with me. I showed up some places, and they would stare at me until I left. And in others, I was like a bit of a celebrity. They would ask me to come and tell my story because they liked hearing all about the drugs and all that kind of stuff. Oh, look what happened to him. I was asked to lead a retreat one time. I'm not making this up. A student retreat. And they said, well, we'd like you to come lead the retreat. The topic is the Holy Spirit. Can you just do it? I didn't know what I believed about I was brand new. I knew nothing. And I found some books that helped me, but it was like they were more interested in my story than they were in me. Does that make sense? It was like you're kind of being used because it's kind of a cool story. And I'm not saying anyone had bad intentions on it, but it was, man. And it was hot and cold. I was either hated because I looked the way I did, or I was asked to come speak because I had this amazing story to tell. It's a strange place to be when that happens. I was regularly invited. I would sing and all this kind of stuff. And the danger is you can get a big head. And that's one thing they didn't leave out in this movie that I really appreciate. I want you to watch this clip. I'll set it up with this. Is that Lonnie Frisbee has become a huge draw to the church. Thousands are coming and accepting Christ and getting baptized. And Lonnie saw himself as this unique and special instrument in God's hands. But he wasn't grounded well. And it got him and others in trouble. Let's watch this.
I was leading kids to Christ.
We need a break. This isn't just about you, Lonnie. We need it.
What's the problem?
The problem is I feel like I don't have my husband anymore.
You don't know what I do, Connie. You couldn't do what I do. No one can do what I do.
Lonnie, you're not listening.
You're just jealous. Jealous of me just like Chuck. But I know your tricks, man.
No. No, that's not true.
That's absolutely true.
You want to act like this is all about God. It's really all about you. Just
she's under a lot of stress, you know, and there's like, there's a side to him that's like really unpredictable.
I think we need to take a break. That's okay. Couldn't we just have a break, Chuck?
I know you're hurting right now. I'll talk to him.
Thanks, Chuck.
Here's the point, is charisma should never be a substitute for character and integrity. Not just in this movie or in this circle, but in any environment we're in. Some of you know people that have been promoted in their work because they had skills and talent, but they didn't have character. They hadn't developed integrity. Or in fact, they had shown they didn't have it, but because they were marketable, let's put them there. Lonnie was super charismatic and inspiring, but he resisted accountability. And because of that, it got him and others in trouble. It happens a lot. You give someone a platform, you give them a name, you give them the brand, and it can go to their head. Becky and I both had several friends that this happened to. They started off really well. They were just going great guns, and no one was willing to speak to them to help them get grounded. No one was willing to challenge them, because if someone challenged them, they just go somewhere else where it's easy. And they made pretty big messes of their life. Becky's dad and some of the other people. They encourage me, but they're willing to challenge me too. They would correct me at times when I was out of line. They'd help me understand. It wasn't just their opinion, trying to help me to understand, what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to make God the number one allegiance in my life? And I wouldn't trade that for anything. I wouldn't trade their being part of an environment where you're challenged and encouraged. You're not rejected when you screw up. You're helped back on the path. That's why I love being a part of my small group. I like having people around me that will shoot straight with me. I married someone that does that. Immediately after this message, I'm going to ask Becky, like I do every time, what did I do okay, but what do I need to change for 11 o'clock? 11 o'clock is always better. In the very beginning, you saw Kelsey Grammer hold up a Time magazine, God is Dead, that came out in the mid-66. There was some theological debates going on. July of 71, they came out with the Jesus Revolution cover because things had changed. And I want you to watch this short clip, and then I'll tie this in together for us.
Thought I'd say goodbye.
Yeah? Seems to be going around.
Why aren't you in there?
I feel like worshiping alone.
I'm no expert, but I don't think that's how this works.
You?
Headed back to New York. You know when they gave me this story? I didn't want it. Kind of thought it was beneath me. I cover wars and riots and politics, important things. Hippies and Jesus. Now, man, I don't know. Our country is a dark and divided place. But in that tent, there's hope and unity and miracles that I can't even explain. And it's spreading. It's not just here. Where and how far, I'm not sure yet. That's what I'm gonna find out. I don't know if any of this is real. I kinda hope it is, to be honest. And even if you can't see it right now, it's a family, man. Don't give up on it. It's my advice anyway. You take care of yourself, Gray.
Yeah, you too. Hey, who are you writing this for? Is this like a book or newspaper?
A magazine.
Which one?
I want to read to you what Time magazine, their religion editor, said related to this. It said in April 1966, we wrote the And they took a lot of flack for on the cover, God is dead, because they were dealing with some just reporting on theological debates. He goes, yet 5 years and 2 months later, God's son was the cover star, looking like the lead guitarist in a folk funk band proclaiming that reports of a divine death were premature. Jesus is alive and well and living in the radical spiritual fervor of a growing number of young Americans who have proclaimed an extraordinary religious revolution in his name. There's an uncommon morning freshness to this movement, a buoyant atmosphere of hope and love, along with the usual rebel zeal. If you're not a follower of Jesus yet, I hope you will take a really good look at who he is. Some of us may have misrepresented him or given you some impressions that aren't accurate. We may have gotten too much into politics, too much into what we're against rather than what we're for. God loves you as you are, but he doesn't want you to stay that way. Doesn't want that for any of us. He wants us to come to know Jesus, and from the inside out, he will transform us if we let him. In New Hope, we're God's partners in getting the word out. Our mission is to help all people become fully devoted followers of Jesus. Let's give it our best to do that and not let anything hold us back. Let's pray. God, I ask that you would speak to us and that we would not only listen, but when we hear your marching orders, we will give a resounding yes. This generation needs to know Jesus. And you've given us the honor and the privilege to share him. Help us to do it well. Amen.